I'm going to be streaming this video to my YouTube channel. My video is spotlighted, so I'll be the only one that will appear on screen. If you're worried about appearing on camera, feel free to turn your camera off. Yep, the slides will be accessible via the YouTube video that I'll share with you at the end. Okay. Thank you, Monique. I shall share the channel with you in a moment. The video will be streaming there. Okay, so welcome everyone for tonight's presentation. Tonight's presentation is Inner Child Healing to Overcome Insecurity. And the agenda for tonight's presentation, we're going to look at what creates insecurities, why we develop them, how they affect us. And we're going to look at ways that you can overcome insecurities. We're going to talk about what you can do next. And we're going to have a little hypnosis or guided meditation session to end. So what do you want to gain from this workshop? Let me know in the chat box what you want to get out of this workshop. What will your life look like without insecurities? Let me know in the chat box. More confident in social settings, more places of mind, more peace and contentment, no social anxiety, more peace of mind. Yes, I thought that was what you meant, Mike. Thank you. Calmer, more grounded and quieter, more space to be yourself. Less self-critical, more confident. Stop being so hard on yourself. Feel confident, grounded, and stable. Self-assured. Feelings of aloneness. Let go of the past. Excellent. So what are insecurities? Insecurities are when we don't feel good enough, when we feel inferior or inadequate and uncertain. Insecurities will make us feel anxious about our abilities, about our goals and our environment. If we have insecurities, we will be easily triggered We will worry what other people think. We will worry that other people don't accept us. We will worry that other people hold negative views about us or talk about us behind our back. So when you find yourself being criticized, or you worry about being criticized, I grew up in a family where I was constantly being criticized. And I learned to ask myself the question, is this true? So, you know, I grew up with this. It wasn't until, you know, about 5 years ago, really, that I actually started to see it for what it was and started to get help to deal with it. The question I was asked when I was talking about what people were saying about me was, is this true? So, you know, if people are saying that you're lazy or stupid, you know, ask yourself, is this true? And what evidence is there that this is true? What evidence is there that this is not true? So that was how I learned to deal with people projecting their own insecurities onto me. Do you compare yourself to others? Let me know in the chat box if you compare yourself to other people. Yep, all the time. Yes. It's very common to compare themselves to others, especially with social media. The thing that we need to remember with social media is people are only posting, you know, their best. They're only posting what they've, you know, the best things that they've got going on. So they might be posting, you know, how great they're doing in their job, or how they've got a great relationship, or a great car, or bought a great house. The thing is, well, same in any situation, same with a work situation, you know, any kind of situation, social. We can compare ourselves to other people, but we don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know what's going on in their head. You know, someone could have a great job and a great house. It could all look brilliant from the outside. They could have a terrible relationship. They might never see their kids. They could have a terrible marriage. So what we see from other people isn't necessarily a true reflection of what they've got going on. And if we're comparing ourselves to them, we're not being fair to ourselves, because we know everything that we've got going on in our lives. We know everything that we've got going on in our heads. So when we compare ourselves to others, we're not being fair to ourselves. If you'd agree with that, let me know in the chat box. So what creates insecurity? So as children, we all experience insecure feelings. All children have insecurities. All children have things that they're afraid of. All children are afraid of monsters under the bed. If we grow up with good enough parents, we're going to learn to process our insecurities. We're going to be able to stop them affecting our adult lives. If a child grows up with dysfunctional parents, as most of us do, that child's not going to be able to process these insecure feelings effectively. So they're actually going to develop lots more insecurities. And to cope with these insecurities, we may come up with toxic coping strategies, ways to try and soothe ourselves when we feel insecure. So such things could be acting out, So projecting our own insecurities onto others, becoming narcissistic ourselves, or acting in by becoming addicted to substances, alcohol, by using food to try and, you know, calm ourselves, to deal with our emotions, emotional eating. So do you act out or do you act in? Let me know in the chat box if you do either of those. Yep, many people do both. It's very honest to admit that. Yep, food is acting in. Food is the most common substance that people use to try and suppress their emotions and to try and help themselves, you know, overcome their insecure feelings. Yep. Again, if we grow up in a dysfunctional family, we can become codependent. So when a child grows up in a dysfunctional family, they're going to learn that, you know, they're not good enough. They're not going to, as I'm going to talk about in a bit, they're not going to be able to validate themselves. And happiness is no longer going to live within them. So they may start to, well, they will start to look outside of themselves for validation and for happiness. So this could mean, you know, turning to food, turning to objects such as cars, houses, you know, other people, relationships, using sex as a way to try and make themselves feel better. So when we grow up in a abusive or dysfunctional household, it can lead to us developing all kinds of insecurities, which can then lead to feelings of anxiety. A child is looking for their parents to understand the world. So if their parents abusive, you know, until the age of three, we can't, there is no I, everything's a we. A child internalizes everything and they see everything as part of them. They're looking to their parents to teach them about the world. So if those parents are abusive, or if they neglect the child in some way, that child is going to internalize that. It's going to think it means that the child is going to think that that neglect, that abuse means that something's wrong with them. And this can lead to them feeling insecure about sex or their sexuality. They may develop a distrust of the world and people in it. So they're going to internalize a lot of toxic shame, and they're going to develop an unconscious belief that there's something wrong with them. They're going to feel inferior to other people, and this may lead to them struggling to interact with other people and forming meaningful relationships. And the most important relationship is the relationship with the mother. This relationship is going to form the basis of all future relationships. So if the relationship with the mother is dysfunctional in some way, that child is going to grow up and they're going to project that dysfunction onto all future relationships. They might find themselves, you know, constantly in dysfunctional relationships, and no matter how, you know, much they try and break away from that, no matter how much they try and, you know, be attracted to different people, they're always attracted to the same kind of person. So what we needed as children, yeah, pushing everyone away. As children, we needed to feel secure. We needed to know that there was food in the house, that we weren't going to go hungry. We needed to be raised by people that we could trust, that we could rely on to get our needs met. So a baby is totally reliant on their parents. And if those parents, you know, let the child down, or the baby's growing up in a place where there's a struggle to get food, or there's a struggle to get love and attention, that baby's gonna, again, they're gonna internalize that. And as they grow up, they're gonna project it out onto the outside world. So as a baby, we needed to know that we were gonna get fed or changed when we cried, and picked up and hugged when we felt scared. We didn't get these things as a baby, then these are going to cause us to feel insecure. If a child doesn't feel safe and secure in their environment, they're going to internalize it. As I said previously, this internalization of these insecurities is going to create toxic shame. Children need their parents to validate them. So, you know, parents need to tell the child that, you know, they're okay. They need to give that child unconditional love and acceptance. If the child grows up being constantly invalidated or with no validation, they're not going to be able to validate themselves as adults, and they're going to be constantly looking to the outside world for validation. So this can make us needy, can make us constantly looking to other people to tell us that we're doing okay, you know, constantly asking other people if what we're doing is right, constantly asking other people if they love us. You know, as you said previously, it can lead to pushing other people away, can lead to testing other people and testing relationships and doing things to see if we're loved, see, you know, if I do this and the person really loves me, they won't leave me. And so it can lead to us ourselves being abusive to try and see if we're actually loved. And this can become, you know, a means of getting validation. Again, any attention is better than no attention. So if a child's growing up in an environment where there's no validation, they may start acting out, they may start, you know, playing up at school, doing things to get attention. You know, even if it's bad attention, it's still attention. So do you look for reassurance? Do you find yourself constantly asking other people, you know, if everything's okay? Do you find yourself constantly needing other people to give you reassurance and validate you? Let me know in the chat box. Yep. Yep, used to, now you try not to. Excellent. Thank you all for your answers. Yep, almost always in the past. Another thing that we can also be doing if we grow up with insecurities is, you know, constantly apologizing, constantly saying sorry, you know, feeling like we're doing something wrong all the time. And I know that some of my early girlfriends used to get angry at me for constantly apologizing to them. Yep. So toxic shame, as I said previously, if we grow up with dysfunction, we're going to internalize that dysfunction. It's going to become toxic shame. Yeah, can't make decisions. Again, you know, people who grow up with dysfunction may struggle to, they may procrastinate. They may be very pessimistic, always looking for things to go wrong, always feeling like there's a lack, you know, worrying that they're not going to be able to pay their bills. So toxic shame. So when parents or teachers criticize the child rather than poor behavior choices they made, they've planted the seed of toxic shame. So when we identify with shame-based models and abandonment trauma and negative memories, it creates toxic shame. So one example of, you know, criticism, if a child is playing with a, or looking like they're going to play with a plug socket, you know, the parent needs to be, obviously they need to get the child away from that plug socket, but they need to do it in a way that's, you know, that's not a functional parent will, you know, tell the child calmly but firmly to stay away from that plug. It's dangerous. You know, a dysfunctional parent may get very anxious, or, you know, call the child names, like, you know, may say, get away from that plug, you little shit. This is going to cause the child to internalize this. It's going to create toxic shame for the child. And, you know, small events like this are going to build up to create a lot of toxic shame. So were you called names as a child? Let me know in the chat box if you were called names as a child. Yes. Yeah. So many dysfunctional families, you know, they think it's clever to be sarcastic, to call each other names, to take the mickey out of each other. You know, when we grow up with a dysfunctional family, we may have been told that we should have been born a boy or a girl, or the opposite sex. We may be told that we weren't wanted, that we were a mistake. You know, all these kind of things are, as you say, very painful, and they're also going to cause us to internalize that, to develop toxic shame, to have insecurities. So dysfunctional parents often try to deal with their insecurities by projecting them onto others. And a small child is obviously an easy target for a narcissistic or, you know, an adult baby parent to project these insecurities onto. So when someone's calling the child names, or putting the child down, it's often the parents' insecurities that they're actually projecting onto that child. So if they're, you know, calling the child stupid or, you know, some other names, it's actually their own insecurities, their own feelings of being not worthy that they're projecting onto that child. Told you were different. Yeah, really different from friends at school. Yep. So they're going to find fault in the child. They're going to tell them that they should have been, as I said, a boy or a girl. They're going to make them feel like nothing they ever do is good enough. So you know, in dysfunctional families, we often have family roles, ways of taking on meaning within that family unit. If we grow up with an alcoholic parent or a parent that needs to be looked after, to be cared for in some way, we can take on the carer role. We grow up in a narcissistic family unit, we can take on the golden child, the child that can do no wrong. Or we can take on the role of the black sheep who's going to, you know, take all the verbal abuse, all the put downs, you know, the constant shaming. So we can become perfectionists. You know, our parents can push us to do the things that they never managed to do as children. So they can push their child to play sports or, you know, to be good at football or to do well at school. So this, you know, can cause that child to grow up being a perfectionist, or if we grow up as the scapegoat, you know, it can cause us to grow up, find ourselves constantly in that role, like an outsider in everything we do. When we, you know, start work, we're going to project that dysfunction from our family onto the work situation. And we, you know, we may become pushed out at work. We may find ourselves even being, you know, abused by our work colleagues. Yeah, perfectionist. Yeah, it's possible for your role to flip between all or flip between multiple roles. Usually, with a dysfunctional family, yes, but with a very narcissistic family, probably not. A very narcissistic family is going to be black or white. So you either take on the role of the golden child who can do no wrong, or you take on the role of the black sheep who's going to get all of the issues. Mocked you for being shy and quiet. Aunts and uncles mocking and calling inappropriate names, and that made you withdraw more. Yep. I used to very much struggle with work. You know, it wasn't until I realized that work was a projection of, you know, the family unit that I understood why. At gatherings as well, yeah. We can become like a social outcast. So when we start school, we could be bullied, feel inferior to our peers. When we start school, we could be bullied or feel inferior to our peers. So a child could be feeling secure about their weight or their athletic abilities, their intelligence, their hair colour, looks. They may feel like everyone is judging them. So there are many insecurities a child can develop when they start school. The more a child is teased about something, the stronger those insecure feelings will be about it as they grow up. And, you know, they'll just get stronger and stronger, you know, until they're able to deal with them. Bullied for dissociating, yep. In my school, you know, my teachers always used to complain that I was always daydreaming. So did you have a family role? I know some of you have already said that you had a family role. Let me know what your family role was in the chat box if you haven't already. screw up. Mediator. Well, as I say, you know, a true narcissist has taken on so much shame that they've had to create a mask to deal with the world. So when they're, you know, dealing with people, even their own children, they're actually going to take a snapshot of that child. And so it is going to be black or white. You're either going to be the black sheep or the golden child, because they've taken that snapshot of you. So it's not likely that a family can be narcissistic, but if they were true narcissists, they will have taken that snapshot of you, and that will be your role within the family unit. Checking YouTube. Yep, so you were a mediator in the family, quiet, fixing things. The disappointment. Observer. Now, with these roles, as I said, we need to ask ourselves, is this true? So if you feel like you're a disappointment to your family, you need to consider, you know, or you can consider what things you've achieved. What are your accomplishments? You can also look at the fact that you're no longer a child. You can do things that a child couldn't do. You've got your own bank account. You've got credit cards. You know, you are able to take responsibility for yourself now, for beginning to reparent yourself. You have resources that you didn't have as a child. So a listener of all problems. Again, when we have dysfunctional family, you know, we can become enmeshed. So one of the parents, it could be, if it's the opposite sex parent, they're going to take on a child maybe as a surrogate spouse. If it's the mother, you know, taking on the son as a surrogate spouse, enmeshing the son, she's going to call the son a little man, a little soldier. If it is the father with the daughter, he's going to call her his little girl, his little princess. And could also be the same-sex parent. So the same-sex parent may, basically they're using the child as an emotional crutch. So they're going to tell the child, you know, all their problems. They may slag off the other parent to the child, tell the child how, you know, bad the other parent is. What a bastard the father is. They're going to dump all their problems onto that child. So splitting, as I said previously, a dysfunctional parent is going to be projecting their issues onto a child. The child's going to be an easy target. So splitting is usually attributed to people with personality disorders, and they use splitting as a psychological mechanism that allows the person to tolerate difficult or overwhelming emotions. So as I said, when they experience that toxic shame, it's connected to bad memories, emotions they've been shamed out of, things they don't want to remember. So they're going to split. and they're going to project that onto, you know, the other onto other people. So they're going to, as I said previously, it's going to be black or white. You know, they're going to see you as either good or bad. They're going to see you as someone that they can idealize, the golden child, or they're going to see you as someone that they can devalue, the black sheep or the narcissist. Now, again, you know, people that have personality disorders can often erase memories or confabulate memories, make up memories. You know, they may black out and do things and then confabulate afterwards, fill in what they think happened. Because they've taken on so much toxic shame, they've created that false self. So for them, the world is a fictitious construct. So again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier about abuse that I got from my own family. You know, they were projecting their things onto me. One of the things that they used to call me was lazy. So this was entirely a projection, entirely a fictitious construct, a lie that they'd made up about me. As I said, you know, I used to ask myself, is this true? And what's the evidence that this isn't true? So any questions, let me know in the chat box. If you have any questions, is anything you want to know? So starting on the 8th of November, I have a group coaching program. It's going to consist of 4 group coaching sessions. All the sessions are recorded. Created a Facebook group where I have put exclusive content to do with emotional eating, amongst other things. There's going to be weekly exercises and a workbook. We're going to be looking to integrate all ages of the inner child from infant to adolescent. So doing this can reduce anxiety, can increase self-esteem, confidence, help us to overcome insecurities, help us to control our impulses, stop us acting in, can help us to reconnect with our emotions. Now, I did have one starting on the 4th of October, but that's now full. So the next available slot I have is on the 8th of November. Usual price of that is $199. If you sign up before the end of October, there's an early bird price, which is £69. And if you want to sign up for that, I will be sharing a link in the chat box shortly. You can also book a call with me via my website. Again, I'll be sharing that link in the chat box. So people who've previously done the program gave excellent feedback on it. That's some feedback from people there. So who wants to try some hypnosis? Let me know in the chat box if you want to try some hypnosis. Yep. Yep. Yes. Okay. Have you ever tried hypnosis before? Let me know if you've ever come to one of my workshops before, tried hypnosis previously. Let me know in the chat box. Not tried it before. Deborah loved it. Excellent. Okay. Yep, that counts. Only in the workshops. Okay. Okay, so What we're going to do first is some exercises to show you the power of your mind. So if you've already been to my workshops before, you've probably seen these exercises before, tried these exercises before. I'm sorry about that, but we're going to do them again anyway. So in the chat box, now I'm posting a link for the 4-week inner child program. If you're interested in that, you can sign up at the link there. So what I'd like you to do to start off with is to take your right hand, point it out in front of you like so, with your index finger pointing forward. If you've got a bad back, don't do this. If you haven't got a bad back, just turn around and notice how far around you can twist with that right hand. Notice where you get to on the wall. And then come back to the center. Take a deep breath in. Now when you breathe in, you want to breathe in all the way down into your stomach. This triggers the relaxation response. And it's said until the age of 7, we all naturally breathe into our stomach. But for some reason, once we start school, we stop doing this. So breathing all the way down into your stomach. As you breathe out, just allow your eyes to close. With your eyes closed, you can imagine yourself twisting round even further, twisting all the way round if you want. It's only in your mind. Just imagine that happening now. Imagine yourself twisting, going all the way around. And then open your eyes. Once again, placing that right hand out in front of you. And this time twisting around again. Again, without moving your lower body, just twisting at your waist. Just see how much further you can go around this time. If you're able to go around further, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. Yeah. 6 inches further. Excellent. Okay. Okay, so another exercise. Become an owl. Another exercise. Sitting comfortably. Taking a deep breath in. As you breathe out, just allow your eyes to close. With your eyes closed, I'd like you to imagine that you're walking into your kitchen. On the side is a nice, juicy citrus fruit. Could be an orange or grapefruit, any kind of citrus fruit you like. Just imagine picking up that citrus fruit, placing it on a cutting board, safely and securely taking a sharp knife and cutting into that. As you're cutting into it, just imagine all those juices just spraying out all over it. All those juices just running down onto that cutting. Maybe you can smell those citrusy smells. And then cutting into it again. So you've got a nice bite-sized chunk. Just imagine picking up that piece of fruit and lifting it up towards your mouth. Biting down all those citrusy flavors in your mouth, all those juices just flowing out, flowing down, dripping off your chin. Imagine that happening. then open your eyes, come back to the present. If doing that made your mouth water, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. Super. So this is the power of your imagination. It's the power of your unconscious mind. Just making yourselves comfortable. Take a deep breath in. As you breathe out, just allowing your eyes to close. With your eyes closed, I'd like to take a few moments to just focus on your breath. Again, breathing all the way down into your stomach. Noticing your stomach rising, breathing in, falling as you breathe. See if you can notice yourself becoming more relaxed with in breath, out. If you can notice any difference between those. Maybe the in breath is slightly cooler than you. Noticing your stomach rising as you're breathing in, falling as you breathe. Any thoughts should come into your mind, you can just notice them. Allow your attention to return to it. See if you can notice more relaxation with the breath, with the sound of my voice, the spaces between my words. Feel like you're not going into hypnosis. Just imagine yourself going into hypnosis. Pretend you're going into hypnosis. And then pretend you're not pretending anymore. Continue breathing deep. And your unconscious mind is always in control, always looking to keep you safe. The unconscious is responsible for all the most powerful, responsible for breathing, for growing your hair, nails, these things you do on an unconscious. You're unconsciously able to change from baby to a child, from a child to an adult. If you ever watch the baby learning to walk, notice, first of all, they start crawl, and when they're ready to take those first steps, push themselves up furniture, and they're ready, they're able to place one foot in front of the other. They unconsciously just know to keep their hands either out in front of them, above their heads. Catch them if they should. Your unconscious is always there, always looking to keep you. Your unconscious knows just how much to hold on, how much to let go. I'd like you to imagine yourself in an elevator. In this elevator, there are three buttons. When we press the first button, you're going to relax even. The second button is going to enable you to become even more comfortable, even more relaxed, maybe doubling that relaxation. Third button is going to take you all the way down into the very basement relaxation, all the way down into the very depths of trance, a place where anything is possible, where positive change can occur. Just imagine pressing that first button now, increasing that relaxation. Maybe you can notice that tiny muscles in your face, letting. Notice your forehead flattening out. That relaxation flows down your neck, into your shoulder. Maybe you like to shrug those shoulders. Then pressing that second button, doubling that relaxation. Even more relaxed. And the third button, going all the way down, all the way down to the very depths of relaxation. Maybe the most comfortable you've ever been. Maybe you have a special place where you like to relax, let. Maybe you can imagine yourself just drifting to that place. Maybe you can imagine yourself some other place, and where you've just made it, and where you can completely, totally relax. There's no one else around. It's only you. Maybe looking up at big blue sky, star, cloud. I wonder if you can imagine safely, securely supported by warm and fleecy, surrounded by a velvety, soft nothingness. And looking down below, you can see time. As you look down on that timeline, you can feel detached in some. Could be almost as though, you know, you've got a TV on in the background, and doing something else, focusing on something. It doesn't matter what plays out on that TV. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Your mind's just else detached from that TV in some way. As you look down, you can see happy memories, good times. Maybe you can see times when you've taken on insecurity. I wonder if you can imagine yourself sending down lots of adult versions of you to change those times in some way. Your conscious mind needn't mind, it's unconscious changes these things. Sending down lots of adult versions of you. Maybe to give the younger version of you a hug. There's some bullies, maybe chasing them away. There's a teacher saying nasty things, maybe telling that teacher to leave that younger version of you. Just imagine yourself sending down lots of versions of you to change all those times, change those things, Give yourself that love, that acceptance. Allow that to happen. If you continue to relax, your conscious mind can drift and dream. Unconsciousness changes those things. Maybe you can get a sign from the unconscious. Sign that some of that old stuff's release. Could be a twitch of a finger or thumb. It could be feeling of warmth, comfort. Some kind of sign, something that lets you know. Allowing that to happen. Those things can just happen like a flash. That. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. Once you reach the number 5, you can come back to the present, noticing how good you feel over the coming days and weeks. You can notice those things can let you know that things have begun to change, that you have begun to change. So begin counting 1, just allowing any feeling to return to your feet. Maybe you'd like to wiggle those toes. 2, as that feeling moves up your legs, that energy moving up your legs and into your body. 3, down your arms, into your hands. Maybe you'd like to wiggle those fingers. 4, and on the next number, you can open your eyes, coming back to the present, noticing how good you feel. Maybe you'd like to stretch and yawn. 5, eyes open, wide awake. If you enjoyed that, let me know in the chat box. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I said, if you're interested in the 4-week program, you can find details there on my website. Thank you. So does anyone have any questions? Anything you'd like to ask me, anything you'd like to know, let me know in the chat. Something you can do to help with self-esteem. One moment. So, as I said previously, if you want to book a session with me, you can get a discounted session via my website there. I offer everyone that comes on these workshops it used to be a free session. But then I've lots of people who book calls and don't turn up. The other Friday, I had 5 people who booked calls and didn't turn up. So I now charge a small fee, which is just £9 for a full hour session. So if you want to take advantage of that, you can book a call with me there. I do have a recording on my YouTube channel to help with self-esteem. I just posted a link to that in the comments. On my YouTube channel, you'll also find lots of inner child healing, meditations, and hypnosis sessions. You'll also find previous workshops. Have a look at that. Also have a workshop for self-esteem as well, which you'll also find on my YouTube channel. Any other questions, anything else you'd like to know? Let me know in the chat box. Thank you. So check the meetup and Eventbrite groups for future workshops. I'm going to be listing some more workshops tomorrow. So have a look at them. Hope to see you on future workshops. As I said, if you want to find out more about the Inner Child Program, go to my website. October is now fully booked. So if you want to do the Inner Child Program, it is going to be in November. I limit the places on the program so that I can give everyone my maximum attention. So the program, the four-week program, is limited to 10 people at a time. So if you want to find out more about that, you can go to my website. If there's a cancellation, yes, you can certainly jump in, but it's starting in just a few days now, so I don't think there will be any. Any other questions? Yeah, October the 4th, yes. October the 4th at 7 p.m. And then the one in November starts on November the 8th at 7 p.m. UK time. Anything else anyone would like to ask or know?